Okay, thank you. So when the very, I think on the initial phone call with Adam, the word friendship came into my head and I thought, well, that'll probably change. But it never did. And it just built and built and built as the weeks went by. And I was getting ready to all smart in a dress today. And then I thought, well, actually, the shirt that shows friendship better than anything I own is just this cup of tea here with grommet. So I'm not dressed smartly. I'm dressed in a friendship way. To start with, I suppose, around this room are loads of my friends. And I sent out to quite a lot of you on WhatsApp words that you meant about friendship, which I've attempted to put in a word cloud at the end. But I got some really interesting answers, some of which are appearing in the church. And just this morning, Steve said, I realised the actual answer to friendship is I've known you longer than I've known Jesus. And that's not because I'm that old. That is, we started this River Church journey, Steve, Fiona and I, at a very similar time. But I was about 9 months ahead of you, I think. Does that mean I gave birth to you? No, let's not go there. So, yeah. That was not part of the talk, sorry. So, yeah, friendship's very important to me. I choose to be single, and so friends then become very important. My family are important to me, my oldest friends, my good friends, my acquaintances, the people I work with, all of those things, and, of course, Jesus. But for years, without those friends, I don't know where I'd be in life or on this faith journey, to be honest. So shout out for that. Just shout out words that mean the word friendship to you. Shout words at me. Yep. Yes. Cool. Yeah. Just friends, friendship. Life. Oh, that was good. Life. Depth. See, these words aren't on my word cloud. These are new words. So the dictionary definition, I have no idea how to use this. What do I press? Middle button. That's easy. Ha, I can do that. So this is your dictionary definition. It turns out friendship is actually a variable noun with various meanings. I'm sure you all knew that. A relationship between two or more friends, the feelings friends have for each other, a relationship between two countries in which they help and support each other. And in many ways, I thought that third one was probably closer to what we do as friends. Or obviously, we're not countries. But yeah, I thought that was probably closer to where I was going with this friendship talk. At the very heart of creation, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right at the start, the very first verse in the Bible is about friendship. It's about community. Basically, and the world was created with friendship at its heart. The very heart of God's creation was the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We won't get into the theology of that. But community, family, friendship is where this whole universe started. So it's unavoidable. It's the way God works. God works in fellowship. He works in friendship. He does not work alone. We were created to work together, basically. And the community of the Trinity, in simple words, just friendship at the heart of creation. So then I looked through the Bible at various friendships. There are, right at the beginning, back at the Garden of Eden, it says about Adam and Eve walking with God in friendship in the Garden of Eden. That's how he created us, to be his friends, to be his mates and walk in the garden with him. Obviously, we then kind of got it wrong, got thrown out of the Garden of Eden and slightly removed ourselves from that. But God's heart remains absolutely to be in fellowship and friendship with us. And so, yeah. The very first people, Adam and Eve, were chatting and in league with God. Ruth and Naomi, that's a friendship of loyalty and sacrifice. Naomi was the mother-in-law of Ruth, and when Ruth's husband, all her sons died, she told the daughters-in-laws to go, which they did, but Ruth remained and stayed loyal and said, your God is my God, you are my family. And that wasn't her blood family, that was the family Ruth chose to stay with. And the outcome was pretty good, because she married Boaz, became the mother of David, which is the line of Jesus. So it turned out quite well. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the the reason I've put that there, without those three, Daniel's faith would have been much more challenged. He stood up for what he believed. He was a dreamer and a visionary. And those three men supported him and helped him along the way to be what he needed to be and to stand up against a lot of opposition. In fact, the three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, actually stood in a fire together. They went to the flames for their faith. As it turned out, there was a fourth friend in the fire with them, and the fire didn't burn them. There was a man in there with them, which some interpret as an angel, some interpret as Jesus standing with them or the Spirit standing with them. So actually, even at that point of what they chose to go to death together as friends, in fact, they didn't die. It was they were saved by their friend, Jesus, or the angel, God. And the Trinity for me, when I pray, do I specify Holy Spirit, Father, Son? Generally, I do the three together, as it were. I quite often use the word God or Lord, which you'll see. For me, I don't think that, well, they're not. They are not interchangeable. They're absolute, aren't they? So probably the most famous friendship in the Old Testament. Anyone? Oh, I've got it written up there. I was going to say anybody know. It's pretty obvious. Jonathan and David. Jonathan and David. So Jonathan was the son of the king, Saul, and would have become the next king. That would have been the logic of what was happening there. He, however, was very close friends with David, King David, later, and actually knew. Jonathan actually said to David at one point, I know you'll be king and I'll be following you. That friendship was close enough that it didn't matter what their roles were or were not. Had they been reversed, I think they would have been in the same support. They were closer than brothers, it says, and they became blood brothers, I believe, which was a sort of covenant that they would have made, which angered Saul quite a lot, and they both got into trouble for, but that's how close they were. So that's probably the Bible's most famous friendship in the Old Testament terms. I then looked at the New Testament. Now, the disciples, first and foremost, occurred to me that each other, their friendship with each other and their support of each other, as they went through trying to understand what Jesus was saying and watching his ministry, working it out together. There was a time when he sent them out in pairs together, which must have been pretty scary. In fact, a lot of this came when we were talking about Matthew. We've been looking at Matthew earlier in the year and some of the other talks over the summer. This really struck me that all the people of power and all the people of might that we've been talking about in the Bible, none of them really did it on their own. They all had friends. At the beginning of Moses' ministry, he was like, he wanted Aaron alongside him. He didn't want to do that on his own. And he had his sister as well. The disciples definitely had each other in friendship and had each other's backs all the time. You can see that throughout. But also, of course, Jesus and his disciples, that friendship of Jesus was very, very close. He had his, Peter, James, and John are often quoted, Jesus' three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, and of course Mary, you hear a lot about. But there was also the wider circle of the 12 disciples, and then the wider circle again of the followers of Jesus, who many of whom stayed with him that entire ministry. And he always, always seemed to work in community. Sometimes Jesus will go and pray alone, but he'll always come back to the disciples. Sometimes they let him down, sometimes they don't understand. But he absolutely relied on his friends throughout his ministry. And you kind of think of, you know, God's here on earth, Jesus is here, all powerful. But actually, he wanted to work in community. And I suppose throughout his entire existence, Jesus had worked in community. So, of course, community made sense to him. And that's how he worked. It's how he worked with the Father and the Spirit. That's how he worked on earth, was with his wider community, with his close friends. His friends Martha, Mary, and Lazarus also he was close to. And we hear about Lazarus, who probably most people are aware is the guy that died and was risen again. Was brought back to life by Jesus just before Jesus' own end of his ministry. And Jesus, there's the shortest verse in the Bible. Come on, everybody knows. Somebody must know the answer. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept because he knew that the miracle that had to happen with Lazarus had to happen, but it was his friend that had died, and he was seeing the grief of his friends, Mary and Martha, to what had happened. So he was a man of compassion, as well as understanding his own role. He was compassionate. He cared enough to cry for the man he'd lost. And Paul and Timothy going into Acts, we'll come back to Paul in another slide, but Paul and Timothy worked very closely together in ministry. And in actual fact, if you look at Paul, he always worked in ministry with somebody. He always had a close ally. He always had a group of friends. The letters to Paul always are not only encouraging his friends and thanking his friends, but he's encouraging them to meet each other. He said, you should meet this person. You need to work together with this person. He was always putting people together. If you look at the ministry of Paul, it's amazing. So the study of Matthew, which is kind of where the birth of this talk started, I was listening and realizing how much God worked in friendship groups and Jesus worked that way in the world. And right from the start, right from the very beginning, as soon as he's baptized by John, he goes out and seeks the first disciples. It's the first thing he does after his baptism. Literally goes out and finds the friends to work with him. And then, he sends them out in pairs. The Last Supper, the last thing Jesus chose to do, knowing what was coming next for him towards the end of his life, was to have community with his friends. The Last Supper, we talk about the bread and the wine, but actually what they did, they ate together, they drank together, it says they sang songs together, they worshipped together, they prayed together. He wanted that last time together to be a proper time of friendship and community with his mates. And then at the end of Matthew, what's called the Great Commission, where Jesus sets down his plan when he's due to go back to heaven for how his entire legacy and the power that he is and everything that he's done on earth will be forever kept. Now, did he do that by writing down with the scribes of the day? Did he do that in a big public way? No. What did he do? He told a few friends. He told a few friends to tell his story to a few of their friends. To a few of their friends, to a few of their friends. And 2,000 years later, that is still the same way Jesus tells us to talk about him. Tell your friends. Bring your friends to church. Tell your friends, looking at you, bringing people with you there, Paris. Bring people with you. Bring your friends along. That's still how we do it. And a lot of us, I think, when you're very first come to church and people say, what's different about you? Why are you so excited? What's going on? And you tell your friends. You tell your friends and they hopefully will come to understand it too. So he left this very shaky plan in our hands for each of us to tell each other, to tell our friends about him and to keep that going. And yes, of course, there are examples of people who, you know, are forced to be alone with their faith. Like is it Terry Waite, the guy that was a hostage for many years? Yeah, he was alone in his faith and it sustained him. But I'm pretty sure when he got out, he was glad to get together again with his friends and his Christian friends. So the next one, when I was, teenage, I think, a long time ago, there was a man at my local church, England Church, called Reverend Hughes, Andrew Hughes, I believe, was his name. And he did a little talk, like sermon, as it would have been, a little 10-minute sermon. And I don't remember the rest of it, but I clearly remember this picture he gave of a blazing fire. And he said, if a coal falls out of the fire, it will stay warm for a while on its own. But if you put it back in the fire, it'll heat up again, it'll fire up again. And he was likening that to, as a Christian, if we stand alone and we fall away from the fellowship and the friendships, it's harder to keep that flame going. And as soon as you put it back in, which like wildfires that many of you have been to this weekend, that fire starts again. That fire starts again. And one of the answers, people talking about friendship, Karen was saying about, it's like a bunch of flowers. They're beautiful on their own, but how beautiful are they when they're all together? It's the same kind of thing. And I was thinking, what keeps us in church? Obviously, apart from the obvious, which is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it's our friends, it's the relationships that we build within the church. What keeps us coming back? And it's very, very well documented and well known that younger people will fall away from church without those relationships. If you build those relationships and those friendships, particularly as the teenage years, that is what keeps you coming back to church. That is what keeps you turning up week after week. And I help with a youth club at Boyne Hill Baptist Church, Westborough Road. And there, it's really interesting what goes on there. They're not, majority of people coming are not Christians, some are. But there's a real acceptance outside of sort of school where you're stuck together because you're all one age or the same age or whatever, same subjects. They really respect each other. They're sort of 11 till, well, we say 18, but they keep coming back. So they're over 18, a lot of them. And it's, there's a real connection there, regardless of background, regardless of who you are or school you go to, and across kind of the whole of the intelligence field. It doesn't matter. Everybody's accepted. And that's a really nice picture, which is kind of why I put those are not obviously those kids. But there's something about that, respecting each other's differences. And sometimes friendships can be quite frustrating and quite hard, let's be honest. And so here I am doing this talk. And Rachel O'Denier's answer to my WhatsApp question about friendship was, friendship is strong but can equally be fragile. So that fragility, I mean, what if you're listening to me thinking, none of this relates, I don't have those sort of close friendships, I don't feel I belong, I feel that everybody else has something different than I've got. What about when it goes wrong, when you lose those friendships? What about that? And of course it goes wrong sometimes. So very famously, Paul and Barnabas started working together and had an amazing, powerful ministry together, planting churches all over the area. And then that friendship fell apart. Because, if I got this right, I think Barnabas wanted to work with Mark and Paul didn't, I believe. So they argued over another, is that right? Somebody's nodding, thank you. They argued over another friend, basically. And Paul didn't feel that was right, Barnabas did. And in the end, what happened was, that's where Paul ended up with Timothy, traveling with Timothy. And Barnabas continued to travel with Mark. They both had an amazing ministry. God was still blessing both of them. And sometimes I think friendships are for a season. And sometimes, you know, if you look at what Paul did with Timothy, they went on to even more amazing things. So God had his hand on that. Whether it went wrong and then God blessed them anyway, or whether that was God's plan, I have no idea. But God still managed to overcome all of that, and it was fine. And they managed to work together or work separately on amazing missions. So sometimes there are seasons for friendships, and sometimes it hurts when friendships disappear. You're like, why? What did I do wrong? What did they do wrong? Probably nothing. Probably nothing. You know, we all go through seasons. If we kept every single, you know, if you would look at Facebook and the kind of fakeness of online friends, but actually, if you kept every single Facebook friend you'd ever have, you'd get a bit overwhelmed on Facebook, no doubt. You kind of, there are a few people you interact more often with. And that's fine. It's fine. You know, you can't keep up with everybody always. God will give you the right people in the right season, I think. That being said, there are friends we all have for life and have always had. Bad advice. There's a good example of that in the Bible with poor old Job and his friends giving him awful advice about it's all his fault and God was cursing him and it was all his problem. And sometimes it's about knowing what is the truth and what is right. Job knew that wasn't right. He knew that his friends were giving him the wrong advice. He didn't believe what they were saying was right. He knew that he was still honouring God in his heart and mind. And of course, that was true. That came out right. Isolation. Sometimes it can feel very, very lonely in a crowd, can't it? I remember when things were quite difficult for me, quite dark for me. Many, many years ago, I would turn up late at church and leave early. I still wanted the worship, still wanted God, but I couldn't handle all the people. And now that was entirely my problem. No, you know, a few people would seek me out. My close friends would sort of come and see me, even though the worship was going on. Didn't always work. And funnily enough, the teenagers were really good. My kids' teenage friends were excellent at coming up and seeking and chatting. So it was interesting. It was an interesting time for me, and that was entirely me and entirely my choice. But you can end up, well, there's nothing more lonely than a big crowd in a sense. Church can be quite a lonely place if you don't feel that you're connecting to people sometimes. And Yeah, it can actually be a very easy place to come in and out and not get noticed. And all of us, if you think about it, sometimes somebody hasn't been for a long time, you think, oh, I haven't seen that person for a while. Or they come back in again and you realise you haven't seen them for a while. So, you know, but when that, you know, when that happens, go and say, so nice to see you, how are you? Or if they come into your mind, you think, I haven't seen them for a while, give them a text, connect to them again. So, yeah, don't ever condemn yourself for that. It is, you know, we go through life, we go through seasons, and the people around us are always going to be there for us as long as we are ready and willing. And that's exactly the same as God. He is always talking to us. In that sense, Steve was wrong about knowing me longer than he'd known Jesus, because Jesus had known him his entire life. In fact, before he was even born, he just was not aware of that. He wasn't listening. God was always talking. So, yeah. The cage, I remember, oh gosh, this is when we were at the Desborough, I think, still meeting at Desborough School. I remember getting this picture of me in a cage, and I just couldn't see a way out. And literally God was like, turn around, it's open. The cage is open. The cage is of your own making, just turn around and you can get out. So I wasn't trapped like this little budgie. I was actually free. I just hadn't seen it. And that was quite powerful for me. So I remember that one. And sometimes I think we look at other people around and think, oh, they're doing a lot more than I'm doing. So, oh, that didn't come out very well. That's quite pixelated. That is a very beautiful picture of a flower. It's painted, it looks realistic. It's actually painted by one of the Pre-Raphaelite artists who were very much into, the Victorian artists, into very extreme detail. They took a long, that flower would have taken somebody a long, long time to do. But actually, it's part of a bigger picture. Can you even see the little pink flower in that picture? Can anybody see it? Yeah. But now, if that person, sometimes the artists themselves did it, sometimes, particularly people like Leonardo da Vinci, they would have had apprentices who they trained to do. Now, that apprentice's job would have, does this take me back? Yeah, that apprentice's job would have been to do that flower. Now, if he'd have decided that wasn't right because he wasn't doing enough and he wanted to do the book that she's holding, and in the middle of that book there appeared a little pink flower, or a book appeared on the stalk over there, that would have destroyed the whole painting. So sometimes we have our role from God. We have our job to do. We have our little bit. All we are asked to do is get our bit right. We're asked to do our perfect flower. Don't worry about the rest of the painting. That's actually, God is the master artist. Don't look at somebody else who's doing all these things that you're not doing and think, well, why can't I do that? Why am I not doing it? Don't ever compare. Don't ever. As long as you get your small flower right, the rest of the painting is fine. God will look after the rest of the painting. So then, as I was doing this talk, I kind of realised something not at all profound, really. I was thinking back over old friendships, over family friendships, over all the things I've had in my life. And I realised, obviously, it's a two-way conversation. Obviously, trust and openness, and obviously the Holy Spirit, God and Jesus working together. And the two verses that Harriet already quoted today, Jesus said, there's two commandments to remember. Love the Lord your God and with every passion in your heart, and love your friends the same way you love yourself. That's the love your neighbour as yourself famous quote. That's how Jesus summed up friendship. Love God first and your friends in the same way and you'll be fine. And actually, in terms of that friendship, I was thinking about who's the person that stayed with me the longest, been the most loyal, never let me down, always had my back? Who do I always, always turn to for advice? And I guess the answer is obviously, I realised it's God, it's Jesus. And we can do that whichever way. Sorry, girls. Sorry, my family were there waiting for it to be them. I mean, yes, my kids are my closest friends, but you're trumped, sorry. Yeah, I realised, and one of the things throughout my life I've done, I write when I pray. It's just, I find that easier. I've got a busy old brain, a chaotic brain, and if I write, I just hear God much more clearly, like the thing I read out just now. And that, for me, has been incredible across the years. It's been a real way of upholding me, kind of journaling, kind of talking to God. I wouldn't pick apart what's me and what's God. It doesn't matter. But I find that really helpful. And who do I go to when I've got a problem? Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I've done across this week, as I've alluded to, I've been asking loads of people at work, on WhatsApp groups, in church groups, wherever I've been, there you go. This took me some time to do. My technical ability not being great. I got extremely frustrated doing this, but that's every word everybody said. So the bigger words are the ones that people used the most often. So that they were repeated words, and I'm going to leave this up here, are the ones that really came up a lot. It's interesting that coffee's bigger than Jesus. I'm not going to analyse my friends here. Hence this shirt rather than the Christian church. Coffee bigger than... No. To be fair, I've asked a lot of people, and a lot of them not in a church setting. So I'm sure Jesus would have been the biggest one if it just been you guys, obviously. But great words, and great that it did come from different sources, I think. That's how people view friendship. I think I'm running out of time, so I won't probably do. I just wanted, really, has anybody got... I know there will be stories around the room about friendships and friendships, things people have done for them. There might also be what God's done for them. And there may also be things that I've kind of challenged. It would be nice to think, I was going to get you in small groups. I don't think I need to. I think it's worth, as you go away and reflect on this, think who your true friends are. Think about your friendship with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit. And think about how you can demonstrate those friendships as well. So think about what you can give out, what you're receiving, and what God is to you. And also, I think, coming back to the truth and honesty, what are you afraid to reveal? Is there something about you that you're afraid to reveal to anyone? And why? And it would help if you can do that with somebody that you really trust. Find somebody to trust, to talk to about this. And I suppose the one I leave you with the most is how you view God. Do you see him as a friend? You know, he's not somebody remote. He is literally your mate. It's how he wants to be. It's what he wants to be to you. So I'm going to throw it open. Has anybody got anything they want to say, anything they would like as a demonstration of friendship?
You probably all will agree that this beautiful, wonderful, kind-hearted lady, you might have all known her longer than what I have, but all the years I have known her, there is one thing that came up, and it just sort of says, if... It's dated, but if friendship lasts longer than 7 years, you're no longer friends, you are family, which with Belinda is definitely. And I've just stayed in a beautiful B&B, just very last quick one, and it just said on it, welcome, you may enter as guests and leave as friends. And that was in the B&B, it's a beautiful place I stayed. But then the first thing that came to my mind was with the friends with Belinda doing this is... Church group, Belinda, everybody, it's always the same. Everybody enters as a guest, but they always leave as friends, and you've got friendship.
Perfect. Here you go, there's your prize. I got prizes, see? Anybody else wants to? Anybody else want to say anything about a friend or friendship? I can bring the microphone to you. Put your hand up. There is a pen to be won here. My strange group of cosplay friends. Well, Doctor Who, I mean, it's a close second to Jesus in my life, as you know. But there is up there. There is, like, laughter and fun. See, you spoke out. Anything else to say?
No.
Anybody else? If I'm roving about. Anything about friends, a friendship? Anybody? What's my central message? Oh, love strong coffee. I never saw that as coming together. That's quite funny. I also really like the non-judgmental. So many people said that. so many people. And somebody else, like, just a place that you can be angry and trust them with it. So there's some really good words up there, aren't there? I don't know where the word net come from. I think sometimes if it was a word that was meant to go, oh, net, a safety net. You're right. That is what they meant. There you go. Anybody else?
Well, I wanted to speak about a friendship that I made at Wildfires. I actually made two really new good friends, which is Jess and Dante, and we met at Wildfires. And it was really nice to connect with, as I said, I was speaking about earlier, young adults and, you know, starting to create a community. And as we were speaking together, one night we stayed up till like 3 a.m. and we were just talking about God and our struggles and stuff that we've been through, and just being able to relate as young adults, because it's different, because we don't have any kids or anything, not any sort of responsibilities. And we were just talking about how hard it is navigating your way through life, especially when a lot of our friends and stuff don't come from faith, and especially if you're new to faith. And they were opening up to me about their struggles with coming to church, and I was talking about mine. It was just really nice that we were all able to come together and, you know, build that friendship and build that bond. And both of them, I'm so glad, have come to church today and they're here, which is something I'm so glad you guys came. And it's just really amazing, and I'm really, really grateful to have, I'm really excited to see this prosper. So yeah,
I think that deserves 3 pens. You better stick one, find one each, come on, take it. You can take them all. Amazing. And actually, there's a very good point there, Paris, that you made. As Christians, you know, a lot of our friends who are not Christian, look what we have that they don't. Look what we have, guys. It's amazing. So keep those strong, those friendships outside of the church as well. Seek to do that. That's really important. It's a good point. Anybody else? Nope, I'll keep my pens. So thank you very much. And thank you to all my friends for listening and on Zoom.